comments, questions before we dive into SRC? How are people feeling? I've heard some vaguely negative feedback about the homework. Not necessarily complaints, but for the first problem, see if kind of two times you got to, for each converter, manipulate the equations and get something out of it. I show two different examples in the solution that I'll post. One, just brute force in MATLAB, gets a parameter or two, sweep through the rest of them, find the solution that matches what you want. The other, use a little bit of insight to reduce down and then be able to just find the correct operating point by sweeping one parameter, getting something that is equivalently a closed form, but a single dimension, and just find the point. Generally, there's not one way that's going to work for all of them. If we get through it today, we'll show, okay, for this model of SRC, I can just get a closed form solution. Okay. Certain ones, you can do that. You can manipulate these equations together and just solve. For most of them, that's not true. Like we looked at with the DAB, that example, you can just pick a J peak and then you can find a path through these equations where you can solve through everything. Some of them, you can't do that. Sometimes that's not so apparent, even if you can. So your general method, you know, simplest is just start sweeping, you know, or just guess and check, right? And you can kind of, through intuition, move towards it. Or you can hop in MATLAB and sweep things and use any sort of solver type tool, MATLAB, Mathematica, MATCAD. And more complicated things, but for simple ones, guess and check, sweep, pick which variables, with stare at it a little bit and say, okay, if I pick J1 and M1, I'll be able to solve J2 and M2, which will let me solve alpha, which will let me solve beta. So I just sweep over these two, I can solve everything and find the point. So I'll show a couple different ways, and the solution explicitly states, I don't expect you to have done it this way or that way. Here's two examples of ways that I can get through to get an answer. But nothing exciting about them. Other questions, concerns? Will people make it through the homeworks okay? Whether you made it through it okay, you can answer now. Okay. No other comments? Concerns? Okay. Move on. So we ended here, roughly last time. We were talking about the series resonant converter. I gave a rough derivation of this as start from our DAB. We add this DC blocking cap to prevent the transformer from saturating. And then we just start decreasing the value of that series blocking cap until it gets in the range where the resonant frequency of CR and LL is close to the switching frequency. Somewhere nearby, not necessarily exactly equal. Do that as we begin decreasing that capacitance. We have operation and waveforms that look very similar to the DAB. We looked at one example from literature comparing the two, but we start to see more resonant type behavior during what were our non-resonant intervals in the DAB. And in the way I've sketched this waveform, I'm actually not even showing the resonant intervals from the DAB, which would occur during the switching times, during these dead times. So here I've neglected those intervals. I'm looking only at phase shift interval and a power delivery interval from before, two per half period. Okay. And so we're going to go through and solve using state plane analysis the behavior of this thing, keeping this as our model of operation. So I've dropped out the dead times. I'm not actually modeling the effect of device capacitance, which means I'm not going to have a solution which tells me what's going on with zero voltage switching, whether or not I'm achieving it, what sort of dead times I need. And we'll talk about that a little bit after. But for the moment, we're just going to assume all the devices are ideal and switch instantaneously and look at the dynamics of this tank. So to do that, we're going to look at the resonant behavior in each of these intervals, and I'm going to name them starting here as interval 1, 2, 3, and 4. Three kind of breaks across the left and right of the period. And again, we're going to have symmetry in this converter, so I'm really only going to need to analyze a half period, which would be two of these four subintervals to get a complete solution. Second half period will just be anti-symmetric in the resonance and symmetric on the DC side. Okay. So before we begin going in, I'm going to label some voltages and currents. This thing down here is my capacitor voltage. And I want to label values at each of these breakpoints. So I'm going to call this one I1, this one minus I2. My symmetry, this would be minus I1 and I2. And then I'll give corresponding names to my capacitor voltages at each of the switching instances. In a moment, when I go to state plane, I'm going to want to normalize and talk about J1, J2, M1, M2. And let's see. The other thing that I'm going to do, not going to particularly matter until a moment from now, is I'm going to assume that we are still operating in this nice DCX type operating mode where V out is equal to NVG, such that our transformer is doing the bulk of the work with any sort of voltage conversion going on. And then I'll just write it out, what we said earlier. I'm assuming the devices are ideal. There's no parasitic capacitance, so we don't have to worry about any resonance going on there, which would be a separate resonance from this LC, complicate our state plane. Okay. So under those assumptions, you can go through and say, okay, during any switching subinterval, my tank stays the same. I'm going to put four of them here for the four switching subintervals. The only thing that's changing is how the bridges are commutating. Okay. So interval one, I have the primary bridge switching devices 1 and 4 such that I'm generating VG at the primary. And then the secondary bridge putting V out at the secondary. My equivalent circuit would look like VG and V out. And by putting this voltage source V out at the output, what I've implicitly done is said C out is a big enough capacitance such that at steady state, the voltage here is going to be more or less DC. So I've applied small ripple to this output capacitor that I can approximate just that as just the source within any single subinterval or over one period. And that voltage is locked. I can model this way to look at what are the dynamics in the tank. So subinterval 1 and subinterval 2, the output stays locked at V out. The input switches. I'm going to get a negative voltage. VG and keep my V out. Subinterval 3, I come around, both are negative. And then subinterval 4, back to positive on the primary. Oops. These are subintervals 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. So I'm going to want to go sketch the behavior on a state plane and solve it. In order to do that, with any subinterval, I want to know what sort of arc do I draw. So I need to know things like what is the initial operating point, what is the center of that resonance, and which direction is it moving. Again, since I've already sketched waveforms here, we can figure out which direction it's moving just by examining the waveforms. More generally, I'd look at initial conditions on the first derivative of all the states. And then those initial conditions will be here. So the initial condition going into subinterval 2 is going to be J1, M1. Going into subinterval 3, J2, M2. So those we can just read off the plot. The only thing we need to solve in these circuits then is what is the DC solution, which will be the center of our resonant arc. Okay. So through all these, I have the same circuit. All that changes is the polarity of the voltages. So my DC solution is always going to be Vp minus Vs over M on the cap and zero current in the inductor. Right? The inductor in series with the cap, the current's got to go to zero. Otherwise, the cap would be changing voltage and that wouldn't be at DC. So therefore, the cap has to block all the voltage. If the current stays at zero, I can't have any voltage on it. So my DC solution here in this first subinterval is going to be voltage on the capacitor is VG minus V out over N, reflect back through. Because I've made this assumption, V out over N is equal to VG, that's going to be zero. But here I'll just write it out, MDC VG minus V out over N is equal to zero. JDC is equal to zero. The next subinterval, and it's going to change is VG will flip. My MDC is going to be minus VG minus V out over N, which is going to be equal to negative 2. If I define V base as either of these, let's go ahead and say V base is equal to VG. And JDC is still equal to 0. Like I said, because of symmetry over a half cycle, those are really the only two I need to concern myself with. These are just going to mirror the behavior. Let's go ahead and write it. MDC here is minus VG minus negative V out over N, which is negative 0, 0. JDC says 0 everywhere. MDC is VG minus minus V out over N is 2. Okay. Hey.
The MVC.
The which one?
MVC, you have to divide by V base.
Right, and I have. So V out over N is equal to VG. So you're right, so I didn't write it correctly here. So this answer, I've already done it. You're right. This over VG over V base. Over V base, over V base, over V base. Thank you. Okay, so starting with the first subinterval, we're going to have resonant center at the origin, 0, 0, on our M sub R, J sub L state plane. And then my initial condition is going to be this point for subinterval 1, where I'll start at, get a good negative sign on there, minus M2 and plus J2. And then over the duration of the subinterval, yeah, I'm going to resonate around the origin. So that's going to look like on our M sub R, J sub L state plane, the center at the origin, and my initial point is at some minus M2. Plus J2. It's going to be up in this quadrant. I'm just picking an arbitrary location in that quadrant to draw it. And I'll resonate around the origin with a fixed radius R1. That'll move in a direction where my voltage is increasing, my current is initially increasing, then decreasing. Voltage is increasing the whole time, it means I must be going this way. But I'm going in the positive direction on the MR axis. I'm going to resonate around and end up somewhere over here at a point M1, J1. R1, I'll call this angle alpha. M1, J1, because those correspond to the names I've given here. Okay, then subinterval 2, I'm going to pick up there. My center is going to move to minus 2, 0. And I'm going to resonate in a direction that decreases my current down to a negative value, relatively little change in my voltage. So go back here, that'll put me with a center somewhere out here to the left, value of minus 2. My new radius, switch colors here. No, I don't. R2 is going to be this, and I'll resonate around that center somewhere down until I get to M2 minus J2. Relatively little change in voltage, and the current changes polarity. Call the angle here beta. Okay, and that's a full half period. Second half period is just going to mimic this behavior antisymmetric. So I'll go back to they center at the origin and resonate something like this. And then I'll go back to a center at now plus two and resonate something like that. Gives us our intervals 1, 2, 3, and 4. Okay. So far, so good. Okay. So let's solve this thing. So we're really only going to get four equations out of the state plane, two in subinterval one, two in subinterval two. For my radii in subinterval one, find is that R1 is what? M2 squared plus J2 squared. And over here, it's M1 squared plus J1 squared. And I want an equation for alpha. Alpha, I'm going to do the two interior right triangles and say alpha is the arctan of M2 over J2 and plus the arctan of M1 over J1. Okay, subinterval two, same thing. R2 is this triangle, Pythagorean theorem. So I've got a height of J1 and a width of 2 plus M1. And then on the bottom side, it's going to be 2 plus M2 and J2. I'll have R2 squared, 2 plus M1 squared plus J1 squared. That's equal to 2 plus M2 squared plus J2 squared. And then beta, same thing. Say this is the arctan of J1 over 2 plus M1 plus the arctan of J2 over 2 plus M2. Let's somewhat figure out what these angles are just by looking at my previous equation because I'm the same triangle in both cases, right? Pythagorean theorem on the triangle, and this is just solving that angle. Okay. The other equation before we get into averaging is going to be what is the complete period? And now I know a half period is just the duration of the first subinterval plus the duration of the second subinterval. The TS over 2 is T1 plus T2. Then normalize that, I'll get pi over F is equal to alpha plus beta. Okay, there's a little bit more I want to do here. Looking at these two equations, look kind of interesting that other than this 2 plus, they're of a very similar form, my two equations on radii. So I'm going to propose that we take this equation and subtract this equation. I'm going to move terms around the top equation, write the right side first. without changing anything. I write the bottom equation. I'm just going to FOIL out the 2 plus M1 and 2 plus M2. What we'll get is 4 plus M1 squared plus 4 M1 plus J1 squared is equal to 4 plus M2 squared plus 4 M2 plus J2 squared. If I subtract these two from one another, what do I get? My M1 squared cancel, my J1 squared cancel, M2 squared cancel, J2 squared cancel. I get this equation, can add 4 to both sides and divide by 4, and I get M1 is M2. And I can take that and plug it back in here and get J1 is J2. In fact, I only have one voltage or current of interest in the corner points of the state plane, which makes things pretty nice. Okay. With that, that's going to reduce our equation set down. Now, by combining these and solving them, I know what M1 and M2's relationship is. Throw out these two equations and replace them with these two. And now I'll just have alpha and beta in the total period. I want to know alpha, beta, M1, and M2, so I need at least one more equation. I've got four unknowns, so I'm going to get that by averaging. Here I'm going to average the output current. As a reminder, related to our earlier commentary on approximating this output voltage as a voltage source. What am I really doing when I'm averaging the output current? Saying I want to know this value. I'm averaging right here. This is my IO, the current that's going out into the load of the capacitor and wherever my power is going. So by doing that averaging over one period, saying that's equal to whatever's going to the load. What am I doing? Again, I'm equivalently just applying cap charge balance. And the average current in the cap is zero. So I know the average here, that's the average here. It really is just cap charge balance step, right? So if I do that, I'm again gonna do it the same way we did the DAB, so I don't have a lot of N's floating around to get everything over onto the secondary. Since I've defined my voltages and currents on the primary, I'm just going to average the scaled output current multiplied by the transformer turns ratio. That way I can use M1, J1. Don't have to reflect them to the secondary before I average. Okay. Simplify the notation a little bit. So this is going to be the integral from 0 to TS over 2 over TS of N times, excuse me, I already did that, IL of T dt. And average the tank current. We're putting the N over on the left, that'll give me the output current. Do this for any half period where the output voltage is positive, which means the tank current is going to go straight through to the output. I wanted to do it over the half period where the VF is negative, it'd be negative IL. Right. Averaging over the half period, where the rectifier doesn't invert polarity of this current. Okay, and as normal, this is going to look like a couple of charges, and it's going to be much simpler to solve the integral over any subinterval by looking at total charge and applying concepts of capacitor charge versus voltage swing. Okay. So let's just sketch here what this N times I out would look like before averaging. Based on the waveforms I had on the previous page, IL looks something like this. And move my time axis up. I'm a little more centered. And then if I was sketching IL, then I would have the anti-symmetric resonant period down here below. I'm sketching N times I out, that gets rectified by the output bridge and flips back up positive, does another symmetric half period. And this is my TS over 2. I'm looking at a Q1 and Q2, which is this stuff. So what are the values of these two charges? The integral of the inductive current over this interval is Q1, this interval is Q2. Because this is a series resonant converter, the inductor is always in series with the cap. So the integral of the inductor current is always the integral of the cap current. And integrating cap currents over some amount of time tells us C delta V on the cap. In both cases, I can solve these charges just by looking at how much did the capacitor voltage change. For interval 1, it changed from minus V2 to V1. It's going to be CR times V2 plus V1, total delta V. For interval 2, it's going to be CR times V1 minus V2. So what I'll get is CR plus CR times V1 minus V2. And what I just solved here, M1 is M2. When I denormalize back, means V1 is V2. So this is 0. This is 2V1, N average I out with 2 over TS times 2 CR V1. And then to get this into my state plane notation, I'll divide both sides by I base. Call the thing on the left J. It's equal to two over TS times two CR V1 over VG times R naught, which is root LL over CR. Fall out as CR multiplied by R naught is going to give me 1 over omega naught, with the TS is 1 over FS. It'll give me my F over pi. And what I'm going to be left with is 2V1 over VG. V1 over VG, we'll call M1. End up with F over pi times 2M1. So I can box it, and that's equal to J. Okay, nice, simple, compact equation, but M1 is still an internal variable. Like I mentioned at the outset of class, this is actually one where I can get a nice closed form solution for alpha current in terms of my control variable. So I am going to, on the next slide, plug in for M1 to get rid of it, reduce things down into J as a function of just the converter design and my control variable. In this case, I can actually control this a couple different ways, but one such control variable is the phase shift. Something I can do with my modulator, vary that phase shift to control the output current. We'll look at those curves in a moment. So I'm going to try to manipulate here to get rid of this M1. The equations I have at my disposal are what we just derived. My complete period. And then my two angles. Alpha was the arctan of what? M2 over J2. Arctan of M1 over J1. Just copying down my equations from before. It is arctan of J2 over 2 plus M2. The arctan J1 over 2 plus M1. Okay, these now I can simplify a bit with M1 equal to M2 and J1 is equal to J2. So in both cases, make both of the terms the same thing. So in both, I can get rid of this. Just say alpha is twice this, beta is twice this. And just to stick with one, I'm going to make them all M1 and J1. Okay. I'm going to rewrite both of these, just moving the tangent over to the angle. Instead of having arctans, I'm going to have tan terms. What we'll get is alpha over 2 tangent is equal to M1 over J1. And then the tangent of beta over 2, J1 over 2 plus M1. If I combine these together, I can get an equation for M1 eliminating J1 that I can then put in here. So what we'll do is I'll take this first equation and say M1 is equal to tangent alpha over 2 times J1, where J1 from this equation is tangent beta over 2 times 2 plus M1. Then I just need to multiply out what's in parentheses in here, subtract the M1 term over, and divide by 1 plus all of this. Give me final solution where all the M1s are moved onto the same side. It's like tangent alpha over 2, tangent beta over 2, times 2 over 1 minus tangent alpha over 2, tangent beta over 2. Let them one, I'll plug it back into my original equation for J. At the same time, I'm gonna reduce my angles down. I'm gonna get to just alphas by plugging in beta, or get to just betas, excuse me, by plugging in alphas, pi over F minus beta. Okay. So that'll give me J is equal to F over pi times 2 times M1, which is 2 tangent of pi over 2f minus beta over 2, tangent beta over 2. Over 1 minus tangent pi over 2f minus beta over 2. Tangent beta over 2. So what does this tell me? It tells me what my normalized output current is as a function of my control beta. What is the duration of that phase shift interval? And my design, F, which is what L and C did you select and what switching frequency did you select? Once I have a given design and I tell it how I'm operating it, what is the control action, and solve the output current here nicely because all of the polynomial terms eliminated and became just M1 is equal to M2, J1 is equal to J2. We can solve through just trig terms. In a nice closed form expression. The other thing I won't write out here, but now I have this will solve the converter behavior. If I want to go back and solve any specific characteristics of it, I can traverse back through these equations where once I solve J for a given beta and F, I can go up here and solve M1. If I have beta and F, I can also go here to solve alpha. And once I have M1 and alpha, I can solve J1 through either of these. Reverse back and have a completely defined state plane. And in the next couple of slides, one thing I'm going to look at to compare to the DAB is what is the peak current during operation. So that peak current, whatever the maximum I get to on JL is, it's gonna occur during subinterval one. I'm resonating around the center here. So that peak current is going to be R1, right? M1 squared plus J2 squared, the root of that. My peak current occurs as I'm in subinterval one. I resonate such that R1 is purely vertical. I mention this just because I'll plot it in this slide here. Okay. So, first one, J peak stuff's going to come on the next slide. But the control trajectory here, I'm plotting beta versus J for curves of varying S. Where I start at F is equal to 1.05 and go down to F is equal to 1.5. I'm always looking at switching slightly faster than the resonant period. That's and be the region you want to operate in for switching loss reasons. We'll get into the details of that in a future class. Here I sweep over beta going from zero to pi, which is saying the phase shift between the primary and secondary bridges goes from zero to half a period. If I go more than half a period beyond, I'm going to start to get negative current, start to get negative power flow. Okay. Similarly, if I went less than zero, I'm going to get negative power flow. Okay. So if I want to get to a certain output current, what it looks like is for any F, if I wanted to get to a certain output current, I have two different ways I can do that. Similar to the DAB, we're always going to want to use the solution on the left, because that's going to be the one with smaller RMS current. Solution on the right, using a really big phase shift, is the equivalent of what we looked at in the DAB, where we said we've got one where I can do it with trapezoidal currents and one where I do it with triangular currents. Same thing's going to happen over here. Anything to the right of this peak is going to be resonant around a more triangular type wave shape, and it's going to be higher RMS currents for the same output. Plus also indicates, for example, if I wanted to achieve some J in this range, I can do that a whole lot of different ways. And these are just select curves. I actually have an infinite number of different curves in there if I allow myself to vary both phase shift and switching frequency. So even if the converter is designed, I've given L and C, so I have an F naught, I can still change F, capital F, by changing switching frequency. So I can modulate, get a full range of output currents by just changing phase shift at a constant switching frequency. I can also, at a constant phase shift, change frequency or some combination of the two. So if I'm controlling by moving along one of these curves, that'd be pure phase shift modulation. Excuse me. Purely controlling by changing the delay between the primary and secondary bridge switching. If I am jumping between curves, that would be pure frequency modulation. And possible, particularly with modern digital controls, to do some combination of both, changing both switching frequency and phase shift, ride some trajectory that I believe is good for one reason or another. There's going to be trade-offs inherent to how I select my operating point. Since I have multiple options at the same output power, I can look at which ones give me minimum RMS currents while still maintaining soft switching, similar things. And for the analysis we've done, soft switching has been lost because we assumed ideal devices and neglected the resonance in the output caps with devices. And kind of back infer it, which we'll talk about next time. Before we conclude, I want to show this, which is a comparison why I pulled up J-peak. Compare back to what we found for the DCX, the DAB. Over here are plots for the SRC. I'm plotting same general behaviors. The numbers don't mean much of anything. I use different examples, but J-peak versus J. We found for the DAB, F goes real small. I can get really close to this J is equal to J-peak curve, which is, A, my current stresses are at their theoretical minimum. My input current stresses, my peak is equal to my average. Something has to see that if I want that amount of average input current. The SRC, that J is equal to J-peak curve, is here. This is for the same variation in F. So I started at 1.05. Go down to F is equal to 1.5. And nothing really approaches that trend. There is a different line, which all of these approach. You get low peak currents. Does anybody have any guess what that line is? So F is the different curves. So it's going to be, it's still linear, so it's going to be J is equal to something times J peak. Something less than one. So you think you're thinking along the right track. On this one, in my sort of proclaimed optimal solution for the output voltage equal to the input scaled by the transformer turns ratio, my current was just flat, right? A really small phase shift. And then the current in the tank just sat at the input and output current. Here, I'm resonating, right? No matter what I do, I'm not going to sit perfectly flat. I'm going to resonate around that. So I'm going to get an output current, which is the ratio of a resonant to a square wave type current, which is 2/π. Here, I'm not going to be able to approach this theoretical minimum type conduction loss. When we all approach is in the limit, my currents are purely sinusoidal. I rectify those, but still the peak of a sinusoid is greater than the peak of a square wave for the same average to get through by a ratio of 2/π, which we will derive next class, looking at a simplified way to model this. Okay. Have a good weekend. See you on Monday.